every day on 4CA. John McKenzie, 1300 872 911.
Well, across the last couple of days, we've had COVID recovery coming out our ears. It's almost beyond belief the amount of good news there is around, particularly for those in tourism who have been to hell and back. They're not quite back yet by any means. But have a listen. Let's go back to the Cairns Post yesterday under the heading, "The World is Waiting at Our Door." Cairns Airport Chief Executive upbeat on services. Well, he obviously knew a fair bit of things that we hadn't quite grasped until today. Listen to this. Peter Carruthers wrote yesterday, "New offshore destinations will be available from Cairns before the end of the year, boosting the Cairns Airport's pandemic recovery as it looks to double passenger numbers by 2040. Now, passenger numbers are forecast to reach about 10 million a year as the Cairns population creeps towards an estimated 240,000 by 2050. The ambitious targets referenced against disastrous 2020-21 financial year results of 2.1 million total passengers when the pandemic shrank international throughput to 5,300 international passengers. It's hard to imagine, isn't it? It's a ghost town. All right, let's move on. A gradual recovery has meant 4.3 million passengers transited the airport last year, a marginal improvement on 2005 when 4.1 million people arrived and departed Cairns. Now, here we go. China Eastern Airlines, based in Shanghai, have confirmed they will return with regular seasonal flights late this year and into 2025. That's China Eastern. And it goes on to say seven destinations across Asia-Pacific are currently serviced by 76 flights departing Cairns, while scheduled flights to Vanuatu are unlikely at this stage. A high-level delegation visited Hong Kong last year to lobby for the return of Cathay Pacific flights following the exit of the carrier in 2019 and was considered successful. We're just warming up at this stage. This is amazing. Here's more in that particular article. We're looking towards announcing a new international destinations in June for services that will start later this year, and additional new services will also be announced later in 2024. This is quoting the boss out there. Look, there was so much good news there yesterday, and then you pick up the Cairns Post today and have a listen to this. A new airline for Cairns Airport is bringing cheap flights to Australia's favourite destination or favourite international destination and promises to open up the billion-dollar potential of a booming Southeast Asian traveller market. One of Asia's most recognisable brands, AirAsia Indonesia, is set to begin flying to Cairns Airport for the first time from Wednesday, August 14, operating three weekly flights to Denpasar, Bali, to celebrate the new route. Discounted launch fares to Bali. Hold on to your hats. Fares to Bali on sale, $159. Cairns Airport boss Richard Barker said the new service would open up a raft of connections across Asia. Now, he went on to say from August, these flights will provide direct connectivity from KL, Kuala Lumpur, Bangkok, and domestic Indonesia, including Jakarta and Surabaya, via Denpasar to Cairns. The service will inject more than 28,000 seats into the Cairns market in the first year. $159 to Bali. Now, I've just put a call through to the gentleman we always rely on in these matters. He's got his finger on the pulse of everything happening at the airport. He's Manager Aviation and Business Development, Cairns Airport. David Nye, good morning.
Good morning, John.
This is like Christmas for people that have been really keen to see a surge in good news from the airport, and this has all arrived across a couple of days. Can we go back to yesterday's firstly announcement? That was from Richard Barker, and we'll step our way through that. What was the first tranche of announcements about yesterday?
So yesterday we had the announcement of AirAsia here at the airport. So we had the Indonesian Consul General flew up from Sydney, and also some of the executives from the airline flew over from Indonesia in conjunction with us and Minister Healy, announcing that AirAsia will commence flights from Denpasar to Cairns in August, which when you think about it is only a couple of months away.
Yes.
And that's part of the Aviation Attraction Fund, which the Queensland Government has been using to incentivise airlines to return to various airports in Queensland. So that was positive. And I think the important thing here as well, again, for us, it's not just about Bali. And then you mentioned it rightly so, John, that it is about the hubbing opportunities for some fairly sizable nations in Southeast Asia, yeah. the likes of Thailand, Malaysia and Indonesia, to have a one-stop through connection at a pretty sharp price to access far North Queensland. And we know that there's a growing sort of middle market in those nations, and we see this as being a really good sort of stepping stone to getting more visitors to come on affordable flights into this region. And AirAsia is a brand which is so well known throughout Southeast Asia. Mm. It's not a new airline by any means, as you would appreciate. So it's just a different. A different way for us to provide some good, some pretty sharp airfares, as I said, to for a local market here to get to Bali, which we know Bali is obviously very popular, but it's also about the other direction, and that's clearly where we see from a local economic perspective the opportunity to drive visitors, and these are potentially incremental visitors to this region. We don't necessarily see that these passengers would particularly be passengers that would travel Singapore Airlines, for example, to get here. They're looking for something which is a good value proposition and an airline that they're familiar with, operates out of their backyard in Kuala Lumpur. A good announcement, as you say. It's almost Christmas in July, they take a little while to come along, but it's again just additional traffic that we'll see coming through the airport from August onwards, which is fantastic.
Now, $159. It's pretty unfair, I suppose, to ask you about where that sits. I mean, clearly it would be the cheapest available. Approximately by how much? I mean, people will be thinking out there, oh, I didn't have enough money to even think about Bali, but now I have it, $159.
Yeah, I mean, I guess we always have to put a little asterisk in there and say that's clearly a sort of introductory launch fare, but they know that to be in the market, they've got to be competitive. There is another carrier that flies between Cairns and Denpasar. Let's just say if anybody went on and did a Google search today around flights between the two airlines, there's somewhere around a $200 difference in there. We also have to acknowledge Jetstar also, when that they have some pretty attractive sale fares that come out during the year. Again, it's fair to acknowledge that they often have fares down there in the $199 or $219 range as well. Let's just say, we believe that a little bit of competition is only good for the consumer. So let's bring it on, as they say.
I'm looking at a photo of an AirAsia.com aeroplane in its lurid red livery, but I can't work out how big it is. I mean, is it a mid-size sort of aircraft, or bigger or smaller?
So the one that they're operating, or the one that they'll operate, is an A320, so an Airbus 320, so exactly the same size as the Jetstar aircraft or the aircraft that fly around domestically here, so 180 seats. Just the narrow body aircraft that people, again, in this region or in Australia will be familiar with flying on. Clearly, we have aspirations initially for that frequency to grow from three flights a week, hopefully, fingers crossed, it proves successful. But there's always the potential for increased aircraft size over time. But frequency is key for us at the moment.
Now, KL, Kuala Lumpur, and Bangkok, I think most people are across those destinations, the size of them, etc., and the appeal of them too to tourists. Some people just love to get to those Asian destinations. But it also mentions Surabaya via Denpasar. Mm. Denpasar, obviously, in Bali, Jakarta and Surabaya. I don't know those cities much. Have you travelled to both of those?
I have. I've actually lived in Jakarta for a period of time.
What's the appeal to locals for Jakarta, for example?
Well, Surabaya? I think I mean, for this market, it's probably more. It's not so much an outbound market for Cairns. It's more about the inbound potential from those markets.
Yes.
They are major cities in Indonesia. Obviously, Jakarta currently still the capital city, and Indonesia's got 280 million people across the whole archipelago. So, and Jakarta being the primary city. So they are, let's just say, there's wealth in those cities because they are, industrial, they are commercial centres. And we already know that there are some groups, some sort of high-end leisure groups that travel to Australia, and they end up in far north Queensland to visit the Great Barrier Reef and the rainforest, but they come through other gateways. So I think those particular cities are more targeted for the potential of inbound traffic. Of interest, as we were talking to the AirAsia team yesterday, and one of the other airports that is a good connection from Cairns for those that are adventurous is the airport that's actually the gateway to the Komodo National Park.
Yes.
Where the Komodo dragons are. Mm. So there are opportunities to obviously explore further the huge landmass that Indonesia is through Denpasar, as well as connecting onto other parts of Southeast Asia.
Now, back to yesterday's coverage in the Cairns Post, I was very interested in this one. It said there was a high-level delegation visiting Hong Kong last year to lobby for the return of Cathay Pacific flights, and it was considered successful. Can you expand on that term, successful, for us?
Yeah, so this took place last year, and I think we maybe spoke about it around the time because it was quite high profile. Again, the now minister Michael Healy, at that time assistant tourism minister, came to Hong Kong with us as the airport, Advanced Cairns, Trade and Investment Queensland, and we went and visited Cathay Pacific and had some positive conversations with them at the time, and to some extent, which I'll elaborate on in a moment, there's still challenges with Cathay from a business perspective. At the time, they were short of pilots. It was difficult for them to get all of their prior sort of COVID destinations, for example, frequency to London, frequency to the US, back in the sky. So the conversations that we had in August were well received. Obviously, as a region, we were a long-time partner with Cathay Pacific. But obviously, there had been other priorities in terms of the recovery of Cathay Pacific. And it's interesting, yesterday in the aviation media, it was actually covered that Cathay Pacific had some of their fleet, which was grounded during COVID, in the aeroplane park at Alice Springs.
Yes.
And yesterday, their last aircraft actually returned to Hong Kong.
Yeah.
So you put that into the context of an airline trying to recover back to pre-COVID levels. Mm. There's still challenges there for them to actually get their business back to where they would want it to be. I think by the end of the year, Cathay will be about 80% recovered globally for their operation. So the conversations back then were positive, and they continue to, we continue to have those conversations and position ourselves, in their thoughts for, the opportunity of return services coming back to Cairns at some stage in the future. And we've got, clearly we hope that sooner rather than later, but for all the reasons we just spoke about, crew challenges, aircraft challenges, we continue to push the case heavily.
Any news from China Eastern or China Southern?
China Eastern obviously operated here this year during Chinese New Year. They operated 6 return services. So whilst the Chinese traffic is a long way from any kind of pre-COVID numbers, that's across the whole of Australia. Mm. We continue to have dialogue with them to get those services back again for Chinese New Year 2024-25. Okay. So even though there were challenges this year purely because the market wasn't there, the fact that we worked closely with them and from an operational perspective here at the airport, everything went really well in terms of facilitating their flights. So that's clearly something, and that's services again the northern part of China, Shanghai, which is where the wealth remains, and that's where you would expect the desire for sort of longer haul outbound travel to get back to some level in 2025 sooner rather than later.
Just briefly, this is from on earlier Ken's post this week. It may not be your remit, but you may give us some insight into it. It was a letter to the editor in the Ken's post from Vic Candia at Yorkeys Knob. Under the heading Upgrade Needed, we landed at 5:05 p.m. from Singapore today, nearly 150 passengers or more on the plane, and the international airport had one border force officer and four smart ticket machines. Long queue and also baggage took time to come out, nearly 6 p.m. before we got out. What a shambles, old people with children. We are not world-class, but a third-class airport. Need a total shake-up of how this airport operates. Overseas tourists were complaining of the service here compared with Singapore. Tourism Minister has to get off his behind and see what's happening. We can't handle one plane at all. Is there just a recent issue with the baggage handling with these planes arriving from overseas or whatever?
No, I mean, there's... obviously, in terms of that comment about one border force agent, etc., I can't really comment on that because border force manpower, whether there was sickness or whatever, is it's a federal government issue sure. at the end of the day. Clearly, we you travelled recently, we don't hear too many concerns, let's just say, about passenger facilitation from a border force. It may have been that there was an issue that day that they didn't have the full manpower on. We are striving to get more of the automated machines for discussing that with border force, but getting more of the automated machines for passport control. But again, we're led to believe that there's a shortage of those machines globally and supply chains, et cetera, et cetera. So still a hangover, I think, from the last few years. In terms of the baggage facilities, and again, I know you've recently passed through the airport, and so you would have experienced some of the upgrades that have taken place just recently over the last sort of 6 months, and the next phase of that is an upgrading and changing out of the baggage facilities and the reconfiguration of that arrivals facility. So any issues there? Occasionally there are baggage belt breakdowns, which obviously the maintenance people rectify as soon as practically possible. But it is part of the upgrade that we're going through, which is again it's a $55 million terminal upgrade, front of house, back of house, fully funded by the airport, and that's the passenger experience, or the feedback on the passenger experience that we get, certainly front of house at the moment, is really positive in terms of those changes. And we obviously hope to see that improve where necessary in the back of house in the coming months as well.
Good on you, David. This has been a very comprehensive update. Thank you.
No problem.
That's David Nye, Manager of Aviation and Business Development at Cairns Airport.